This is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen. Dreams do come true. Are you ready for a miracle? I want to share with you a miracle in my life, the wonderful, fabulous, precious, dear Eric Berglund. Thank you for being with us.
Hello, it's my great pleasure to be here.
Eric is a world-class musician, performer, recording artist, composer, healer, and just general all-around miracle worker. You are living your dreams, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I am. I claim it.
Yeah.
Of course, I go through challenges, too, just as everyone else does, for sure. And the dreams are still lived even in challenges.
The dreams are still lived, even in challenges. You know, I always write down a bunch of things you say.
That's a new one.
The dreams just came out. Are still
I am so grateful because you know how life is. Sometimes it isn't exactly the way you plan it. And so I just got here just now in time for the interview. But isn't that perfect? It's a miracle. I wasn't here 1 minute before, but I'm not here 1 minute late. And that's one of the things that I've really learned is really powerful and true, is that when we want to manifest things and whatever we have, we put out to be in the right place at the right time and for everything to happen. And the way the universe works is that it happens exactly when you need it. And we don't always have it right before. And if you want a parking place, you don't need it before and you don't need it afterwards. You only need it for the time you're there. And so often, we want to know everything that's coming ahead. We're all worried about the times that we're in, and we're all concerned, and we want control, and we want to know
that
everything is there. And that's not what the times are. They're huge forces that are touching the earth right now that basically is that the way we've lived for so long, it really hasn't worked, and we're shifting.
Excuse me, that was the understatement of the century.
Yeah, so we're shifting dramatically, and one of the forces that's touching the Earth is from the star system Sirius, and that is completely for letting go. So we have to completely let go of everything, and after we let go, and then of course when you let go, you have to trust. You have to absolutely trust that God, the force that created us, that has life, that our heart beats, is going to take care of us. And then there are other forces that are coming in that are rebuilding and creating the new. So even if we see destruction and chaos around us, at the same time, there's a whole rebuilding and the most wonderful new things coming in. And I really believe that we're going to come to a time of paradise on this earth. Yeah, regardless of the... when you mentioned that I do healing, and when we do... one of the most famous things in healing is what's called a healing crisis. I've often had, not often, because usually people call me because of difficulties they're in, but I have had circumstances where people are just curious. They've heard I do healing, and they just want to experience what I do, even though they don't feel they have anything the matter with them at all. And so they schedule a time with me. Well, then... the day before it happens, or 2 days before, all of a sudden they're in healing crisis. Everything inside them just falls apart. And this is a real common phenomena with many people. I mean, it's universal. It's not just with me. And what it is that we have programs deep down inside us. They could be from past lives, from so long ago, that are buried very deep. And just like pick up sticks, you can only pick up the top stick, and you can't, if you try to pick the bottom one, they all collapse. So you can only go one at a time, what's there in the moment. But sometimes what's underneath, way down, is what's causing everything, and you want that to come out. So every part of inside of us has an intelligence that's alive. If you have a heart transplant, you can take on the energy of the owner. This is so well documented. People who were afraid of heights and they got an organ from someone who was a mountain climber, all of a sudden they weren't afraid of heights anymore. People who are gay, all of a sudden they became straight.
Well, I have a joke about that.
You do? Okay.
Yeah. Excuse me for interrupting, but it's so funny. It was on Saturday Night Live when they first started doing a bunch of transplants, and it was about a lady interviewing a woman who had had a hand transplant from a football player. And so she's saying, have you noticed anything different? And this lady with the football player's hand, it's on her leg. She's getting it with her other hand. It creeps up. It's on her breast. She puts it down. and it is one of the funniest things I have ever seen. I would love to see it again. It's like 25 years old.
Wow.
So that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, that part that's alive. And so all these parts inside of us are intelligent. And if there's a part that knows, hey, I can be healed, well then, don't miss me. And so it waves its hand and says, pay attention to me, and then it comes right up and the life seemingly falls apart. But then the healer can look at it and say, aha, you know, and then go into the cause and there it is. And this is the same thing that's happening on the earth. So the earth is in healing crisis right now with all the things coming up. But it's good. It's wonderful because if it didn't come up, then it would just be stuck way down and working kind of insidiously. But this way it's coming up so it can be seen and it can be healed. And anything that's going to go into this wonderful paradise age, if it's not healed, it can't go in there. So we're having, the earth is like a cake that's being baked. And right now we're in the oven. But in the end, it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful, wonderful cake.
Well, there's a lot of people that would like to stay out of the kitchen and out of the heat.
Well, unfortunately, it's probably going to get hotter.
Pardon me?
It's probably going to get hotter.
Oh, we'll see.
But you just know that it's going to be a beautiful cake. And you just hold on to what's really important. What is important? What is important is love. Love can move anything. One of the things that you always ask me, what new techniques or what can I share? So my pet thing that I've been doing lately is to say, I am a master.
I am a master.
And you just put that with anything. For example, I hadn't played ping pong for years. I had to play ping pong. And so immediately it wasn't hitting the table, going off the wall, doing all these things. And in my mind I said, I am a master ping pong player. Immediately the ball hit the table every time and it was just like notched up immeasurably. And now I've applied that to everything. So if I'm a traveler, I'm a master traveler. If you want to invest, you know, you don't know how to invest. You know, we hear everything's about the economy and how important it is to, for example, invest in gold. You say, well, I don't know how to invest in gold or whatever. Say, I'm a master investor. Immediately, the right people come to you so you know exactly what to do. And so whatever it is, even if you know absolutely nothing about it, you just say, I am the master of whatever it is. And what is so amazing is that with all the latest research on what's happening is that we are like computers and we just have programs that our whole brain, it's just like with a computer. When we look at the screen or the television, they're just waves that come in. But if you don't have it right, you see all these numbers. Well, the same thing is true in our brains. We're all these kind of like numbers, like in the Matrix. And all we have to do is change the program. And if we go into a program of fear and worry, well, then that's what we bring into us. And it brings more of that. And, of course, the fear gets stored in the kidneys and, you know, all these things. It goes inside our body. But if we can just change the program, and I said the quickest way to change the program, didn't I last time say about how you always say, wow, bring your hand down, thank you? And that stops the computer program. And then after you've stopped
Do that again.
Okay. Normally, we react. And everything, all the great world religions say not to react. But people react. You know, you say something, and immediately, just like Pavlov's dog, we just react. You know, you say, you know, your mother died. You know, you cry, or you hear... all of a sudden, the economy collapsed, the stock market crashed, all your money is worthless. You go, bah, you know, and we just immediately, or you just won the lottery, and then immediately go, wow, you know, you're soon as we put something in, then we react. So the main thing is to not react, to be a master. And so Eric Berglund's little formula for not reacting is that whatever happens, the very first thing you do is you say, wow. Now, I've made it threefold because everything in our planet, when it works the best with three. We have the primary colors, red, yellow, and blue, out of which all colors are made. Love, wisdom, and power are the three great attributes out of which all other wonderful God qualities come from. Everything is based on three. If you find two people to pray with you, it'll be more powerful. If you, very often when I lead meditations, I say, imagine three angels around you. Everything works more powerfully with three in this plane of this dimension of existence. So we do it threefold. First thing is you say, wow. The second is you take your hand. Now, first, just so I can describe it over the radio, have your palm face you. Then turn it so that your thumb faces you. So actually your palm is facing the left wall. Okay, and you have this above your head, and then you just bring it down very slowly right in front of you. And as you bring it down, you'll feel that it brings your mental, emotional, etheric body right into balance. And if you were like, ah, you do this, and it brings you right back into center.
And wow.
Yeah, it is so great. I learned this from my teacher, Hilda Charlton, back in New York, and it has a tremendous power behind it. So first you say, wow, hand down, and then the third, you take your hands to your heart, and you just say, thank you. So no matter what it is, good, bad, or indifferent, it's something that's come into your experience. If it's beautiful, wonderful. If it's something that needs to be healed, wonderful. You're a vehicle that can help heal it. So you just say thank you. And now you can do all of this in your mind. In some places, obviously, it's not appropriate to bring your hand down and your hands to your heart. But if you can, you can use all the hand positions. Otherwise, you just do it in your head. You say, wow, hand down, thank you. Now, if you practice that with everything that comes along, with all the little things, then when the big things come, you'll automatically do it. Like, say there's an earthquake, and you feel it trembling, and you go, wow, hand down, thank you. And then you go, and then you can get, all right, what would a master do? And then you can take the statement that I said, I am a master. I am a master of my emotions. I am a master of my mind. I am master of all the nature that's around me. You hear the economy is going. You say, wow, thank you.
Good thing I'm a master.
I am a master of the economy. I am a master of my money. I am a master of whatever is happening in my life and my world.
Okay. I wanted to ask you about... You're bringing me right to this point that I wanted to ask you about.
Oh, good.
Have you read Zero Limits?
Have I read what?
Zero Limits.
No, I'm sorry, I haven't.
You haven't? Well, I think it's one of the five most important books I've read this year. I mean, one of the three most important books I've read in the last 5 years.
Well, I'm going to have to write it right down. It's called
Zero Limits.
Okay, I'll look for it. Thank you.
By Joe Vitale.
By Joe Vitale.
Now, I know you've heard this story about Dr. Hugh Lin, which it's about him and his work. He worked with a Huna healer for a number of years, and he was a psychiatrist in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, the one on that story. And you would tell everyone who doesn't know it. That's such a great story.
Well, he was put in charge of a mental facility for the criminally insane. And they had a real high rate of employee turnover. They had a lot of people calling in sick. There were a lot of people in shackles and that were truly dangerous. People were afraid to come to work. And so he, on the first day at the job, he sat in his office and he prayed. And he said, what shall I do? And he was given this Huna healing called Ho'oponopono. I can't really say it.
Yeah.
But what it is that he was told not to see any of the inmates, but only to sit with their charts and
and get to know them that way, the things that were in their charts, and say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. And he did that for days and days. He never saw any of the patients. And everybody got well and went home. And now they don't even have a facility for the criminally insane on that island in Hawaii. And he's continued to use it on everything. And you're not saying to the person, I forgive you for being this way. You're saying, I ask your forgiveness for seeing it this way. And, you know, yeah, you were talking about the reacting. Is that's what we've done about the economy. That's what we've done about wars. That's what we've done about everything. And I've started to use that technique. I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you, on everything. And I went to see Dr. Hugh Lin the other night, and he went on and on about how we need to take responsibility for every single thing we see and ask forgiveness. And basically how I got it, Eric, was that we're asking forgiveness for serving the appearance world,
mm-hmm.
for serving the Warner Brothers gnarly, nightmarish movie that we've made up on this planet. And then And what also comes to my mind when I'm using it is that thing in the Course in Miracles that says the mind that has forgiven itself can only look on gentle sights. And mm-hmm. also, when one mind is completely healed, the world will be healed.
Yeah.
So I've really, really been applying myself to that.
Well, it's wonderful. It's one of the best things. I've shared it for years, too, and I just love it. And you mentioned responsibility, and I feel that's one of the really big things. When we don't take responsibility, then we feel we're a victim. And then when we're a victim, you know, we think we can't do anything about it. And as soon as you say, I am responsible, I am a master. Even before you get to the master, as soon as you say, I am responsible, well, then you can begin to change anything. And then you can't get into a negative emotion. It cuts it all off. Because in order to have a negative emotion, you have to feel a victim. But as
yeah.
soon as you say, I am responsible, that cuts it all off. It's like a tree, it just cuts the roots out, and it can't grow. So that's like, they say that there are just two, I mean, there's so many wonderful affirmations, you know, the forgive me and I love you and all these things, but they're like some basics that are the most underlie everything. And one of them is, I am responsible. And another one is that I really like myself. Because you can't like other people as much as you like only as much as you like yourself can other people like you and everything else. And from the self-esteem comes everything too. So those are the two most powerful. And then you go to, I forgive you for all of this. And it's kind of like, as you were talking, it's like the Matrix, you know, that we buy into the Matrix and buy into this big movie that we see. But it's only a movie. And
yeah.
and we can go back if we don't. Have you ever seen the movie Showboat?
You know, I ordered that from Blockbuster Online, but I haven't gotten it yet because
uh-huh.
you told me about it.
Yeah.
You told us all about it last time.
I told you all about that before, yeah. Of course.
Yeah, but talk about that.
Yeah, well, I just love it because at this one point in Showboat, that isn't my favorite. That's just a good story. I mean, I love the whole Showboat and the music and everything, and I cry at the end every time, even though I know what's going to happen. But the story that I like to share is they have these two old prospectors that have never seen a film, and it's a silent film, and they show the villain tying the heroine to the railroad tracks and the train coming and the villain going, and then the stereotype, you know, silent film. And then the prospectors see the villain full face on the screen, so they take out their guns and they shoot the screen. Bullet holes right into the screen.
Yay!
But of course, what happens? The movie keeps going on. And it's such a metaphor for our lives. You know? We're all, you know, shooting bullet holes into the screen, you know, instead of what we need to do is go to the projector, and then before even beyond the projector, if we don't like the movie, we can go back to Hollywood, you know, hire a new script writer and director and actors and redo it. And we can all do that.
Well, you know...
And can I just share one thing that I just really feel is so important?
Sure,
is that this is something I just feel so important about, because if everybody did that, the movie would change. And everything is ultimately the dominant vibration. And so I've created a CD called Creating Paradise, which I feel really nullifies and then everything that's wrong on the planet now, and then it brings about what we do want, what would create paradise. And I just and I feel that every time it's played, magic happens. Here in Mount Shasta, where I live, we had a lot of forest fires. And every time I put the CD, we would have smoke. And as soon as we had smoke, I put the CD on, and the smoke would go away.
Okay.
And then if smoke came back, I'd go into the room, and sure enough, the CD, which I had on repeat, had stopped, and I just put it back on again. And then the smoke would go away again. And if many people all over played that, it would be like a huge energy field going in to shift this matrix that we have. And of course, we can find other ways of doing it, but I know my CD can really help.
Well, I want to say that you sent it to me, and I've been playing it every day more than once and really loving it, really, really loving it, and just asking that the whole universe bless you 1,000-fold for creating that, Eric, and bringing it forth so very beautifully. Everything you create is so very beautiful, and just beauty alone is such a blessing to the world.
I know.
Beauty
and
harmony.
Beauty really is powerful. I've thought a lot about beauty, and way back in the Vietnam War, I had a lot of friends who, I was an art major in college, and I had a lot of my fellow art majors wouldn't exhibit because of the Vietnam War. And so they said, well, we're not going to create any art because with all the stuff going on in Vietnam.
Hello!
And then I thought about that and thought about it, and I said, well, wait a minute. We need beauty more than ever now.
Yeah.
And so I broke with my peers and I exhibited, you know, and I did the most simple things. I just did flowers and things that I just thought were so beauty and simple, and feeling that we needed that more than ever. And of course, now we need it even more than ever. Beauty is really, really important because it creates a vibration. And then that vibration, you come into it. Like one of the secrets of, in manifesting, if we see somebody that has something and we don't have it and they have it, and you know, we can go into envy or all these other things that we've all done as part of the human condition. But instead, if we go and we say, wow, how wonderful that person has that. God bless them. May they have even more than they already have, and may blessings just abundantly go to them. Well, then what happens, instead of being like envious and like turning inside and shriveling up, all of a sudden you're getting the energy of giving, really desiring that they have even more. All of a sudden you feel good, and then you wind up vibrating in the same frequency they are, and you're open to having it come for you.
Well, not only that, it's real important to recognize envy and jealousy as excluding yourself from that condition. That's all it is.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And it's real important to say, that's for me. Thank you for showing me that. Wow. Hand down. Thank you. You know, thank you for bringing that up. And because I know that you're committed to creating paradise on Earth, and that's what I'm committed to, Eric. I
think there are many of us. I think almost, you know, deep down, I think everyone is. Even, you know, the 100%ers that appear to be the opposite direction, I think they are too, deep down inside. They just don't know it.
Oh, that's really, really good. Well, you know, I went to see Edwin Gaines the other day, and one of the things she goes on and on about is forgiveness. And I thought all of my forgiveness was complete. And I sat down to do this process she gave, which is 70 times 7. It's forgiving everybody in your life 70 times 7. And she says do 35, write it out 35 times in the morning and 35 times at night. Well, I've been forgiving myself for 40 years ago things like that I slapped my son's hands when he did something, you know, that I just remember that keeping me awake then. And I thought that was gone and I needed to forgive myself. But as I worked with it, Eric, and after I went to see Dr. Hugh Lin, and he talked about, you know, it's really important that, you know, you, I, everyone take responsibility for the Iraqi war, that you, I, everyone take responsibility for that animals are tortured and killed every day. And there, I noticed that when I got right up to those things, I wanted to say, hell no, I'm not doing that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Are you there?
I'm listening.
Well, and then I kept thinking about that decree, I am the light of God that never fails.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at the things that are going on Earth, it looks like God's failed plenty. I just started to bitch. I said, look it, you failed the last two elections, sweetie pie. You know, I was talking to God that way. And I realized that I needed to forgive myself for, A, focusing on that appearance world, two, believing there's anything but the goodness of God, and three, being responsible for that condition myself, being responsible for, you know, I just started to say, I ask forgiveness for the Iraqi war. I ask forgiveness for all of these things. I ask forgiveness that Bush was elected. I ask forgiveness for the constitutional things. And why am I telling you this? I get so wound up. It's that thing of, you know, I think forgetting that we're a master, that we created all of this stuff.
Yeah, but as a master, we can uncreate. So we have the different phases. We have the phases where we forgive. We have the phases where we let go. And then we have the phases where we rebuild and we bring what we want. So everything is kind of twofold, just like as we have the breath. As we breathe in and we breathe out, life is born and life dies. And, of course, it really doesn't. All it is change. And so we have to continually do that forgiveness. You know, and forgiveness is also the color violet, which is a mixture of pink and blue. And pink is love, blue is power. And you combine them together, you get a really powerful movement of energy, which is the color that's come. Every era has a certain color, and that's the color that's coming in, more and more violet. And when you use violet, that becomes very, very powerful for moving energy. And so you can use it in the forgiveness form, you can use it in the transformation form, and you can just color the world with violet.
I've been doing that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Eric. I get sort of excited and over-inspired and excited when we're talking.
Oh, that's great. Oh, let's all be excited about life and this wonderful... It is a wonderful time we're in.
I know, and it's also really scary. You know, I alternate between really giving thanks that all my heart's desires are fulfilled, including paradise on earth for everyone, for all the animals, for all the plants, everything cleaned up, the environment cleaned up, for everything. And I know that's the correct way to do it. And then I have to handle this other part that looks and goes, oh, shit, the light of God did fail again.
Yeah, but that's all from your point of view. I mean, you could look at, like you just said, oh, you know, God failed and Bush got elected again. That could be just bringing up healing crisis. And instead of then having something take place in a short period of time, you know, what's 20 years compared to eternity, you know, whereas maybe it would have gone on for a couple more centuries another way. And it just brings everything up. We don't know. How do you know? We only see, they say that reality is this huge, huge thing, and that with our tiny senses, we see under 1%. Because, like, you know, all the frequencies in the air, radio frequencies, all the television channels, and we can tune into one frequency, but we know that all the other channels are going to all the other frequencies. So reality is very, very big. And and what comes into our understanding is very, very tiny. And when people really learn a lot, what they realize is how much they don't know. And you become humbled by how immense everything is. So we don't know the whole picture. What we can do is we can do what we know to do. And that's, you know, to completely surrender and just absolute trust that God is in charge. We do everything that you can. You do everything you know about manifesting, putting everything out. And as soon as you put it out, then you forget about it. And
you release it.
Yeah. It's like when we go to order food in a restaurant. You know, after you order the food, you don't have to go every 3 minutes to the kitchen to check if they're really cooking it, if they really turned the oven on, and if they did it. You sit out there just totally expecting it's going to be, you know, the dinner's going to come to you.
And be great.
And be grateful, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we do what we can. It's not a time to have your head in the sand at this time on Earth. We came on Earth to learn. It's a schoolroom. We came here to grow. But we also came here to give. And this is the time, everyone who's hearing this, you couldn't hear this interview unless you're a light worker and you volunteered on inner levels to be the light, to help at this tremendous time of transformation on the Earth. And so now is the time when we're to be that light and to transform. And there's so many incredible things that we can do now to shift. And the biggest shifts aren't what is in the appearance world. That's just a tiny little fraction of what's going on. The big things are huge energies that are touching the Earth's mother planets, and we're shifting from the way of being in matter that we've been before to a whole new way of being in matter. And as light comes in, what we're doing is we're shifting more back into beings of light. And that's the most important thing that we can do, that the angels say, is to connect with the light that's inside us now and to actually birth more light within us. Meditate on light. Feel light in your atoms. See light coming down your head, through your spine, through every chakra, going inside every atom, filling all the spaces all around it. And especially with the new light that's coming, like from Pleiades and Sirius, all these different places, so that as this new light comes and touches us, we're already one with that light. So then when the masses have to let go, when there's like tsunamis, economic changes, all these other things, we've already done it. We've already let go inside ourselves in meditations, and by bringing the new frequencies of light that are already coming in. And then we vibrate with these new frequencies, and then we can be a great torch of light to other people that are fearful. Make sense?
Yeah. And it's a great job, and we all got to do it.
Yeah, yeah. And with all the things that are coming, everything out there is pretty strong. So, you know, it's very easy to buy into the illusion. So that's why it's really wonderful to use these incredible tools that we have. And again, I feel that music really, really helps. And these CDs with the combined with the affirmations that are so powerful, and they can help you come back into a state when you go out of it. I mean, it's good for me. I go out of it. I listen to it, and I come back into it.
I know. Eric, tell people how they can get your CDs. Are they only available from your website, or are there other places they can find them?
Yeah, I guess that's the primary place. And right now, I go on tour so much. So right now, you can go through my website and link into CD Baby, or you can go directly to CD Baby. And that's the main place, because I'm only here one more day, and then I'm on a long, long tour. I'm traveling all over to share what I can on this earth. So I've just been everywhere. Since I spoke to you, I've even been in Siberia.
Wow.
I'm just all over. And I'm off to L.A. day after tomorrow, and then I'm on into Romania and going to Israel. I'm going all over.
That's wonderful, Eric.
Yeah. So I'm touring more than ever. So right now, if you choose to get my CDs, you can get them through CD Baby or my website, which will link you there. And you can always check your store, and if they don't have it, say, why don't you? Why don't you order them?
Yeah. I can't recommend them enough. Your angel music, you're creating healing, you're creating prosperity.
Yeah. Now, here's a way to work that's really wonderful, particularly like with this creating paradise. You can listen to it, which is really great. When I lie down and listen to it, it brings me right back. But you don't have to even listen to it, because it has a vibration and a frequency that's embedded into it. So you can just have a room that you have it in, put it on repeat, and you can have it on low volume, and you just have it playing, and it will vibrate through your house, bringing a paradise frequency where you live.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. So, like I say, that's what I was doing for the smoke. It wasn't that I was listening to it and concentrating. All you have to do is play it. And so you just play it, it'll do that. And then, of course, I have the other ones for abundance. And actually, I ran out of the abundance, but Oriata has just redone it, and it's coming out this month in a new, newly mastered and everything. So that's going to be really great, because abundance is an issue for everyone now. And then the healing one, of course, with the many crazy things that are out there right now, it's really good to keep our bodies as healed as possible. And that's wonderful to be able to have.
You know what else it attunes everyone to is all of us working together to create paradise.
Yes.
It's like instead of having two people pray with you, so you have three, we're all praying together.
Yeah. And you know what's real incredible part, you know, there are many things that are coming to the earth right now. And one of the things that's coming is this feeling of unity, where we all come back together. I used to marvel at, like, the birds that could all fly in formation, and the animals, they all knew what to do. And I was thinking, gee, I don't know what to do. You know, we aren't doing it all together. We all seem to be so separate. And that is one of the things that's going to shift. This feeling of separation. You know, they talk about the 2012 and the end of the Mayan calendar. Many of the prophecies say that we're coming back to this time. And what the angels and masters say is that we all are connected to a soul family. There are certain souls that we have a very strong affinity to. And we've had many lifetimes with them. We've been off planet with them. And what we can do is we can bring though our soul family back. And just by our attention is so powerful. Whatever you think about, that's what you bring into your world and into your life. And so if you just start to think, my soul family, what could my soul family be? My soul family. Well, then you begin to draw it in, especially if you do it right before you go to sleep. You think, connect me with my soul family. Then different beings in other dimensions that are part of your soul family can start to work with you. If there are people living that are part of your soul family, you can be drawn to them, so you can meet them and actually work with them. When I travel, I feel so grateful and so blessed with the life that I have, and I feel I have family all over the earth, and I always have friends everywhere I go. But when I travel, one of the most common things that I hear, and it's almost shocking to me to hear it again and again, over and over, almost no matter what country I go to, is that so often people feel alone, and that they don't have enough friends that are like-minded and feel that they're the same vibration as they are. And then, so this is a solution. Call on your soul family.
Oh, I think that's so important.
Yeah. And then you will draw the people in, and you can even draw the invisibles in, so that you feel wonderful and you feel you're connected with family, even if you're by yourself.
So it would be good to say, I am a master creating paradise surrounded by my soul family.
That's a great one. But I like to, but I would break it up. I prefer short, snappy things.
Okay.
When you make something too long, it's harder to go in the subconscious. So you can
or say, remember
I am a master,
it. And...
I am a master now. I am a master of blah, blah, blah. I bring in my soul family now. You know,
yeah.
I choose to have my soul family. My soul family comes to me now. I am connected with my soul family. You know, little short things, the sentences seem to kind of connect with the subconscious a little more strongly.
Well, you know, it may be a little different for
each person
too.
Of course,
like your way of delivery feels a little bit yang to me.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Well, make it more feminine, please.
and that's not a criticism. It's just you are more yang than me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
it's so funny because I don't usually think of myself as yang. I usually try, what can I do to be more yang?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I just feel like my way of delivery is a little more dreamy. You know,
yeah.
It sort of conjures up a little sort of a fairy dream for me to.
Well, that's perfect. You're absolutely right. And so we all have to do it in the way that we do it, and it comes out of who we are.
Yeah, and also I think the yangness that I'm experiencing with you is maybe something I need to move into, because we are in sort of an emergency situation, and
yeah.
It is important for all of us to say, I am a master now. This is what I choose.
Yeah.
And I love in your CD where you say, I am creating paradise now. I am creating paradise now.
Yeah.
I am creating paradise now. And I noticed you use the three again.
Yeah, yeah. I use the three principle over and over and over.
It's very good.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's powerful. Probably another good thing to do that I'm reminded by what you say, which is why it's so wonderful. We all know what we know, but we don't know what everybody else knows. And as soon as we communicate, we can come up and bring something that we might not have even thought of before, and we have something grander.
So uh-huh.
It's really great to have communication. And so one of the things that's really powerful, I think, for all of us is to relook at, we have all these different sub-personalities inside us, and we have our inner male and our inner female. And it's always good to revisit that periodically and make sure that our inner female and our inner male feel good, and that they and then balance them afterwards.
And that they're friends.
Yeah, that they're friends. I mean, I've worked on people who each one was perfect. They had their inner male was like a prostitute, and wow, here I am, let's have sex, you know, let's have a good time and blah blah all this. And the inner male was like a John the Baptist, an ascetic. So each one felt fine in themselves, but they were in complete war with each other, and they were in the same person. So how do you think this person's relationships were?
I wouldn't even want to look. I can
right.
barely look through my fingers.
Right. So it's important for us to kind of revisit that. So if we have our inner male, you know, 100% perfect, which then, of course, reflects in all the males in our life, and we have our inner female really doing well, and that reflects in the females in our life, and they're totally balanced, then we'll bring in the right way. So if we have to be a little more yang at a certain time or a little more yin at a certain time, it'll come out in the perfect balance. And that's another big thing that's being healed right now. I just got back from a trip in Japan, and I was working, I did my workshops with a wonderful spiritual teacher called Keiko Anaguchi. And again, we kind of got off on each other, you know, what we were doing. And so one of the things that we were doing was healing the polarity for Japan, because Japan has been very masculine.
Mm-hmm.
And you have all these, you know, even now we see all the businessmen, all the whatever, and the women, they're so beautiful. I just love them. But, you know, it's the stereotype. They can walk, you know, tip-tip-tip-tip-toe, you know, and
behind
the
man.
Oh, you know, and so sweet, you know. And my friend, she lived in America, and she's just a real powerhouse, you know, just not the typical Japanese at all. But she was really helping work to I mean, she's beautiful too and everything, but I mean, she certainly has her strong inner male and a strong feminine. So she's, but we worked first. It came out of we were working on her, and then she's just so with it, you know, because everything is the reflection, you know, inside, outside, everything is one. And so then we worked on all of Japan with these groups, where we went from city to city, and it was just incredible to help bring that balance. But Japan's not the only country that needs that.
No, it's not. You know, Dr. Hulin, one of the things he said that needs to be most healed on the planet is women's hatred of men. And I looked and looked at that, and I thought, I don't think that's what it is so much as, you know, what I started working on is Bush for me. And I noticed when I would say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, and then when I'd say, I love you to him, I'd throw up a little bit in my mouth, you know. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I realized that every masculine abuse of power that I've ever experienced is like personified there.
And you're talking about Bush?
Yeah.
But Bush is only a puppet.
Well, I know. And he's acting out all of these things, you know, testosterone poisoning. do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, wherever it is, there it is.
Yeah, well, so I've been really working with that. And
but, you know, the masculine, everything is a pendulum. And this whole abuse of masculine, there was a matriarchy before that.
Yeah,
and that was abused, and what was his name? Hulin. He's really, in one sense, really right, and certainly has a point, because what's happening now is that the pendulum is switching. It may not look like it totally yet, but it is. We're coming into a more feminine era on the planet, where the pendulum has been one way, the masculine. Now it's coming back to the feminine. Just like we have Kundalini that can rise inside each one of us, there's Kundalini of the planet. And it used to come up in Tibet. It used to be in the East. And that was masculine. And now it's shifted. And that's why Tibet is, you know, falling apart and whatever. The energy's not there anymore. It's not meant to be there anymore. The Kundalini is now coming up in the Andes. I had read about this way back in the 70s in some of the master writings, The Bridge to Freedom and so on. They talked about how it was going to switch, and now people like Drumpel and Melchizedek are writing about that in their books, and they say that the Kundalini has already come up in like Bolivia and Peru in the Andes there, and so people are going to be really drawn there, and that's where this big spiritual currents of the planet are going to be, and this is the feminine. So the feminine is coming back, and as it comes back, it's real important to heal it, because otherwise we're going to just draw on the same things from the matriarchy before, and all this hatred of men is just going to shift into, you know, go on forever. It's time to heal it and let it come into balance. Because you can see already, even in Hollywood films, like where there'll be like some real macho women, and they beat up the guys, they beat up a guy, and then everyone laughs, and then you go on. But if they had done that with a woman now, that wouldn't be politically correct anymore. And so there's some fringe writing, you know, where they talk about Orion, and with all the energies that are coming back to Earth, some of these fringe writings talk about the Orion Wars, and Star Wars is just a basis of Orion. And have you heard of the Orion Queen? And have you read any of these? This literature?
No.
Yeah.
Tell us.
Okay, so they talk about the Orion Queen, and this was where the matriarchy was misused, and when it was on the planet before the patriarchy, which came then as a rebellion against that, and then it got abused, and why, you know, we have to forgive the men. But before that, it was with the women. And as the energies are coming and shifting all over, we're coming closer to the galactic center and all these things, Orion's energy is also going to be coming back more with the Orion Queen, which has the potential to turn back into the negative aspect of the matriarchy again.
Oh, no.
So right now, that's why, you know, you might have at first thought that that's a crazy thing for Hugh Lynn to say, but actually it's very powerful and very true. So as the feminine starts to come back and become more and more powerful and be able and come in, it's real important to purify that feminine, heal all the hatred of men and what they've done, and have it so that the feminine, as it comes in purely this time.
And, well,
and
you know,
within each one of us, the feminine within men, as well as the feminine in women.
Yes, and the feminine within men has been abused more than for anyone. Like, you know, men have been expected to go to war. You know, men have been expected to hunt and provide. You know, all of the things that are actually demoralizing to the spirit. And men have just been, that's been their department. You know, I had a very great teacher one time, and she said, you know, have you ever noticed that the biggest problem is getting everybody off the cross? And that, and the biggest problem women have is being the victim of men. And she said, have you ever noticed that everybody's buying to be the victim in the movie, not the bad guy? And I have seen that with working with another number of women, that the worst problem they had was manifesting bad guys in their movie. And the only way I can explain this, I don't exactly have the words for it, Eric, but I feel like you'll clear it up. When Sonny, our youngest son, was little, the only thing he wanted for toys was real police handcuffs. And then nobody would play with him because he'd handcuff them. Yeah, and so in order to be in his movie and play with him, you had to be a bad guy and be handcuffed. And I feel like that's sort of a lot what a lot of women have done to men. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Are you there?
You know, we don't have to buy into the roles. We can create another role. There's always choice.
Yes, there is, and we're choosing something else now.
Yeah.
We're choosing something completely new, where
everyone... And children come in with past lives, you know, and past lives that are strong in images, and so you can go in and look at the past life and begin to heal that, and then maybe they don't have to act out some of the things.
Well, also, when we've done the forgiveness, it's possible to recreate them so they happened a different way.
Right.
And, you know, what it says in the Course in Miracles is the only thing about the past that is true is that it isn't here.
Yeah. Yeah. They say we're human beings are so funny because we're the only people that, after we've thrown out the garbage, go back to the garbage can and take it all out and look at it again.
Put it on your pillow. Smell it while you're sleeping.
Oh, that is
That's really
trash.
Scary.
Let me bring it back.
That is really scary. So
that's what we do with our minds. Time
yeah,
to change
so,
that one, huh?
What?
Time to change that one.
Duh. So basically your advice is to... instead of reacting, to do the three steps.
Yes. That will change your life.
Yeah.
You say, wow, hand down, thank you. And then you go, what would a master do? And then you can say, I am a master of whatever it is, whatever the situation is. And it's so amazing because as soon as you say, I am a master, all the atoms start to respond inside you and begin to move in a different way. And like, you know, how you can feel like, well, I just don't feel like getting up. I don't feel like doing anything. As soon as you say, I am a master, instantly your whole body is adjusted.
I'm sorry, Eric. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Thank you for being with us. It's our time is up. Have a wonderful tour. Please come back. And thank you for everything. And thank you for listening.
Yes.
We'll be here Monday at 2 o'clock. Until then.
Blessings to you and blessings to everyone listening.
Yes. Thank you.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. I love you. And this is my wish for you, that all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Ah, men, ah, women, ah, children, and yeehaw!